Testing. 1, 2, 3. Yep. Is that working?
Yeah.
We're good to record? Okay. Higher. Hello? Is that better? Can everyone hear me? Great. Okay. Excuse me while I take a swig. And then there was a sudden wind which blew and broke the rocks and the mountains. And then an earthquake came. Bang! Crash! And then a fire. But the Lord wasn't in it. And then a gentle whisper. We'll come back to that in a minute. On to the subject. If I could have the next slide, please. Or the first slide, please, Pokong. That's what I've got today. It's Man Shall Not Live by Feelings alone, not necessarily bread, but feelings, and we'll go into that in a moment. I got that title after I gave the last talk. I got home, a quiet time, and that was what dropped into my heart. I did say to God, shouldn't that be bread alone? Because I know that's what it means. But he said, no, feelings alone. Explore. Try that. So who's got feelings? Everyone? Yeah? Are they good?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, they are good, aren't they? Because they're essential for guiding us through life. They do actually do their job. And we are made in the image of God, aren't we? We are in his likeness. So he must have feelings too. Because he's given them to us. In fact, we can see it demonstrated in Jesus' life. He had feelings. There's plenty of examples where Jesus showed his emotion. However, feelings can mislead us because they can be corrupted, unfortunately. Next slide, please, Pokong. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. If you've got your Bibles, that'd be great to look through, but I think I'm going to use my Bible actually this morning. I've got it on the slide for those who haven't got their Bibles, but I've marked this out, so I'm going to try and follow it if I can. I can't find it. It's number one gone. Oh, there we are. Okay. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We have an inclination, don't we, to naturally want to do the wrong things, I think. Naturally, not supernaturally, but naturally, we tend to want to do the, I'm speaking for myself here, by the way. I should have said this at the beginning, the disclaimer. This message is for me. Just like you said, Katie, when you preached, you said, just because I'm saying this doesn't mean to say I'm doing it. Doesn't mean to say I'm necessarily, I've got it, I'm getting it, but I'm not necessarily there. So I'm learning it too. So I'm learning this, and this is a message for me as well. But you know, naturally, we tend to want to do the wrong thing, and that's our old self, and we need to put on the new self. So let's take a look at what Jesus did. Next slide, please, Pokong. In Matthew 4, verses 1 to 4. This is when Jesus gets led into the wilderness. Temptation of Jesus, we all know it quite well. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I think that's one of the biggest understatements in the Bible, actually. We'll come to that in a minute. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So yeah, just going back to that 40 days fast. Have you ever wondered how on earth he managed it? I don't think I could. 40 days without food. And I love the Bible, at times it does sort of describe things with a slight understatement like that. He was hungry. I think if you put me in place there, it would have said, he is absolutely starving, if that was me. And that'd be after breakfast, lunch, and the main meal. Come the evening, I'm still hungry. So, you know, there's a slight difference going on here. But this was the first temptation targeted at Jesus, and it was targeted at his body, his flesh, how he felt in terms of, I'm hungry. And he exercises tremendous restraint, don't you think? Instead of saying, yeah, I could turn these stones into bread, and I am hungry, I'm going to do that, he decides to turn the other cheek, as it were. So how does Jesus respond in this instance? What does he do? He quotes the word of God. That's what Jesus does. The written word of God. And it's also in context. It's a direct quote from scripture, actually. We're going to look at that now. Next slide, please. Deuteronomy. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to that one. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known or seen before, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So that's what Jesus uses in return, the written word of God, direct quote. And it's interesting, actually, that the actual Israelites in that Deuteronomy passage were also in the desert, in the wilderness, and they got hungry too. And I think if I was one of them, I would have been the same. I would just grumbled and said, I'm flipping hungry. When are you going to feed me? And Jesus obviously knows that they were fed with manna. But Jesus doesn't give in to his feelings. Because the next slide, please. Because the issue is not actually the issue. The issue is the word of God. That's really what matters. Now that was by Norm Barnes, who said that a long time ago to Joe and I through a prophetic word. He was quoting some scripture to us and the promises of God. And we were going through a really tough time. And we still are, actually, in some respects. I'm sure we all are in different ways going through tough times, lots of ways. But this is what he said, which suddenly caught my ear. I didn't understand it at the time. I thought, issue? There's a lot of issues here. The issue is not the issue. The issue is the word of God, or the word of God is the issue. Do you get it? So the word of God is what matters, not the issue. And I thought to myself, I didn't get it at the time. And this was 2001. It's 2019. I'm just about getting it. 18 years. I'm starting to understand that the issue is not the issue. So whatever you're faced with, whatever you're confronted with, whatever the problem is, that's not the issue. And you think to yourself, but it is the issue for me. And I'm sure it is. Don't get me wrong, God understands that. But what he says is what matters. The word is what matters. So if he's given you a word, or he's referred you to the word, that's what matters. In fact, Margie pointed out this morning, the promises of God are what matter. They stand. They will last forever. They won't fade away. Problems fade away. We fade away even, but God's word does not fade away. So, question. Who has an issue that needs resolving? I saw a finger go up. Two fingers. A few fingers. Yeah? Yeah. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to touch on that right now. And if you're willing, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would help us all in the different issues that we are facing in life. And they are many, and they are big, and they are like mountains at times. But Lord, we know that the issue is not the issue. It's your word that matters. So please speak your word to our hearts and our minds that we understand it, we get it, we see it, and we can hang on to it, Lord. And if possible, Lord, and in your mercy and your grace, deal with the issues as quickly as possible. But we know, Lord, that it doesn't always happen that way. But we can ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, the word of God is primary. What God says matters. Feelings are secondary. Deny our flesh, like Jesus did. Are you with me so far? Yeah? Because now I just want to touch on three different areas that I feel, God communicates to us through his word. I'd like to suggest there's three ways. There might be more, of course, but we're just going to look at three ways this morning. And the first one is the written word, the scripture. No surprises there. That's one of the main ways that God speaks to us. So how many people read this book regularly? Yeah, that's good. Daily, maybe? Because it's like our daily bread, isn't it? As the scripture says, we, you know, Lord, give us our daily bread. We need it. But the scripture's like our daily bread. It's like food to our souls, to our spirits. And so it is an interesting play on the words there, that although bread is very much what we need, it's like a staple part of the appetite, isn't it? Bread, it's universal in most cultures, I think. There's bread everywhere. But the scripture is our daily bread. It's what we need. And there's an interesting situation in the scriptures. I don't know if you remember it, but it's in the New Testament where Jesus meets this Samaritan woman. We all know the story quite well, yeah? Jesus makes a comment. Next slide, please. I'm going to read it from the slide this time. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Question. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So what's interesting here is that he's having this conversation with a woman. Then the disciples go off to find some food because they're all hungry. And then when they come back, he says this, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And they're thinking, who's giving him food? But he's talking about something quite cryptic and mysterious. Like, I have food. We're not talking about physical food, spiritual food you know nothing about. And maybe there's a clue in the next verse, actually. So he says, it's to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. That's what Jesus was referring to. And so it's the will of God, the purposes of God, the word of God, and what you're called to do. And next slide, please. Also, this is a great passage. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This is a great passage. You've heard it, yeah? It's alive and active. So sometimes, you know, when you're reading your Bible daily and you're reading it, you get the impression maybe sometimes the Bible's reading you. The scripture is alive. You know, it's a living thing. It's working you out. It's alive. It's active. But, however, who's looked at the Bible before and they felt that the scriptures just spoke to them personally? It's wonderful when that happens, isn't it? When sometimes you read it and you think, hang on, I've not seen that before. Yeah, I've read that passage and I don't remember reading that. And suddenly it goes ping and stands out. And that's like the word coming alive to you individually. It's wonderful. And pray the Lord does that more and more for us, because it's great. It's food to our souls. It's what we need. But the word of God is alive and active. So this is the second suggestion of another way that God speaks to us. So we've got the word. We all understand that. God speaks through his word. It's important to hold on to all the promises and all the scriptures and everything in the scripture. We can, you know, never get tired of it. There's too much to learn. There's a second area I feel that God, the word of God communicates. We've got the Bible. The second one, I don't know if you agree with me, but the second one's prophetic. It's the prophetic. It's another way that God speaks to us and communicates. So, in one sense, the scriptures are made up of this prophetic stuff, because Margie even suggested there's loads of scriptures that have been amazingly fulfilled through prophetic words at this time about the birth and the coming of Christ. But there's loads of other passages that are prophetic. And in fact, there's a whole section of the Bible made up by prophets. And Jesus, God and Jesus, seem to use that way a lot to communicate. It's a primary method of communication that God would speak through his servants, his prophets, to his people. It's just the way he did it. He did it then. But the thing is, he did it then. It's history. But it's also relevant to today. It's present. And it's also going to be relevant for the future as well. So it's past, present, and future. And the word of God is very relevant to all three of those sort of areas of age. But the prophetic is too. It's historic in one sense. It's very present today, and it's going to be present in the future. And a lot of the words point to the future. Even Moses, who's mentioned a lot in the Old Testament, and Jesus in the New Testament are prophets, because they both had messages given to them in abundance and they shared them to the people. They were prophets of God. And they both gave amazing information and messages from God to the people. But the prophetic is also alive and kicking today, isn't it? People are exercising that gift today. There's loads of prophetic people out there in the church and in the kingdom of God that are using that skill, that ability. And we've probably experienced some of it here, haven't we? In terms of visiting speakers. We've had visiting speakers come here who've got that mantle upon their lives. And and people exercise it. Next slide, please. Look at this. This is in the Old Testament, Joel. And afterward I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's Joel 2, 28 to 29. And actually that's referred to in the New Testament as well, in Acts 2, verse 14. Actually, Peter refers back to that passage. And he was acknowledging this is happening now. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind and people were prophesying. All sorts of people, not just prophets, but everyday believers were prophesying because the Spirit came upon them. And my question to you is, at this moment, is if you don't have this gift, would you like this gift? Would anyone like it? And if you do have it, would you like to use it more? Yeah? Let's just close our eyes then. Let's ask for God to do that. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the fact that you've poured out your spirit on all flesh and all mankind, as the scripture says. It was then and it's now and it's tomorrow as well, Lord, that we're going to have your spirit with us. And we just ask that you would touch us in such a way that you would give us the ability to prophesy to one another and to those who need to hear the word of God. Father God, will you pour out your spirit on us so that we pick up that gift and use it. And if we already have it, Father, train us and guide us and give us the opportunities to use it more and more for your kingdom and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to ask a couple more questions about that whole area of the prophetic. Who's received a prophetic word before? Quite a few of us. That's great. And if you do, do you write them down? If they're spoken to you, say, and you go away and then you jot them down, yeah? And do you sometimes type them up? Maybe. And if they're recordings, do you keep them and put them in a file somewhere, safe on the computer, yeah? That's good. And who refers to them from time to time? Yeah? That's good. Yeah. Because it's good that we do. We need to blow the dust off them from time to time and refer to them and engage with God. Because some of those words don't make sense. Some of them, they haven't been fulfilled yet, and some of them will happen later. So it's important to keep asking God to work that through. A bit like, yeah, I didn't understand the issue is the issue. Or not the issue, rather. The issue is not the issue, sorry. It's the word of God. I didn't understand that at the time. I had to keep asking God, what does that mean? And, yeah, just on that subject, I've got a bit of a bonus ball here. Excuse the phrase, I don't do the lottery, but the bonus ball has already been referred to in Joel, and it's here. I don't know if you notice it, but we talked about the prophecy, but there's also a mention of dreams and visions, which is another way God speaks to us. And there's lots of biblical examples of dreams. Lots. It's actually another primary method that God used to communicate to people was through dreams. There's quite a lot in the Old Testament. There's some in the New Testament too. And visions as well. I mean, visions. Dreams of visions. It says here, your old men would dream dreams. That's what I tend to have, by the way, dreams. So I must be in that category. And young men will see visions. I don't tend to have those so much, but who gets dreams here? Anyone? Yeah? I mean, we all get dreams of different kinds, don't we? I mean, I'm not going to go into it because it's a big subject, but there are dreams which come from God. That's what I want to make the point about, is that there are dreams that come from God. Sometimes they can be a bit soulish, as they say, from your flesh, and you know it's not from God, it's just coming from you or some stupid memory, or maybe even the enemy comes in and contaminates you, because we know we're all corruptible, etc., etc. But occasionally, and I like to think more often than not, they come from the Spirit of God, and he likes to say things to us while we're asleep, which is remarkable, really. Talking about night visions now, not the ones when you're awake. It's important that we make note of them, because if it's God communicating to us, then we need to take a note and write it down and say, what are you saying, God? Sometimes they don't make a lot of sense. There is some strange symbolism in them at times. But every now and then, it's pretty obvious what's been said. And we had one recently where it was, I won't go into detail, it's a bit personal, but the point I want to make is that the dream communicated very clearly about something we were doing, Joe and I, which was going to lead perhaps into a bit of a sticky patch, a bit of difficulty. And we saw it, and I didn't like it. Joe had the dream, wasn't me. And I said, that's clear, isn't it, what we need to do? So we asked God to help us. We said, we know what the situation is. Can you help us? I will tell you, it's about money, all right? So just to let you know, it's money. But the thing is, right, you can run out of money quite easily. And the thing is, we had a warning given to us in a dream. And so we sought the Lord for wisdom. And he gave it to Joe, actually. He gave Joe an answer, a way around something which we needed to sort out. And we sorted it. And it happened. And we're quite grateful about that situation, that we avoided something that could have been a bit of a catastrophe. And that's an example of perhaps something of a warning that God gave us, and we have heeded it, and we've managed to engage with it. And but we could have ignored it. Life goes on, doesn't it? But here's a challenge for you. If you don't get dreams, or perhaps, because sometimes they vaporize, they do. Wake up in the morning, you think, I think I had a dream, but I can't remember the detail. And maybe it was from God even from God, and you can't remember it. So a good practice that a lot of people tend to do is a notepad next to the bed with a pen. And ask God if he would like, if he'd like to speak to you and give you a dream during the night. And see what happens. I think Mauricio did that once, didn't you? I think, sorry to put you on the spot. I think you said...
I said I never remember my dreams, and then you gave me the hints. I took some notes. I didn't understand my notes in the morning. So the dream was very vivid, so I could still remember the dream.
Did you write it down?
I did. Later, when I remember.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Did it make sense? Did. So you could do that. You could try that if you wanted to. God speaks that way through dreams as well. But the final area I want to focus on. So we've got the Word of God, we've got the prophetic, and we've got the third one is last but not least, certainly not least. The third way that God speaks to us is through the still small voice of God, the gentle whisper. Do you know what I mean by that? I kind of hinted at it at the beginning from that passage, which was from 1 Kings 19, by the way, 11 to 12. Do you know it's the only time it's mentioned in the Bible? I think I'm right in saying that. Dave, you can correct me if I've got that wrong. I did a little bit of research, and actually the still small voice of God, that phrase is only mentioned once, and that's in 1 Kings 19, 11 to 12. Some translations say gentle whisper, others say still small voice of God, but it's the same sort of hint. But it's the only time it's kind of mentioned. But you know what I mean by it, don't you? Because we all tend to use it. We use it as an expression of God speaking to us through the gentle, still, small voice. It's good, isn't it, when it happens? Does everyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? That's good, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the gentle, small voice. And you can miss it sometimes, and you have to tune in to sort of capture it sometimes. Occasionally I get it. And there was one example where I was at the studio in 2014. It was January the 2nd, just after Christmas. Joe and I went to the studio and we did some sort of planning for the year. It was cold in the studio, I remember. It was pretty miserable. It was just after Christmas and I couldn't get going. And I remember thinking, well, we've just done some plans. I really don't feel alive. And I looked out the window and I was just thinking about all this stuff in life, which just is so happen to. It's just not inspiring at times. That's the way I saw it at that moment. And I just heard this little voice say, I've given you life, now use it. That's what I heard. And I knew it wasn't me because I wasn't thinking that way. It was the still small voice of God that suddenly whispered into my mind. And do you know what I mean? You think, that wasn't me, but it was in my head. So that must have been something else. But it was a good piece of advice. And I like to suggest that one was the Holy Spirit, because it actually was done in a way which I understood. It was nice and short, nice and easy to understand, and relevant to what I was feeling at the time. And I suddenly realized, yeah, what am I moaning about? God's given us life. Let's use it. Let's use it as much as we have. You know, sometimes I tend to hold on to things and you think, I'll save that for a rainy day. I won't give that person that compliment or whatever. It can wait another time. But it's like, if God's given you life, use it. Use it now, you know, because tomorrow, who knows what tomorrow has. So on that note, would you like to hear the still small voice of God more? I see you nodding your heads. That's really good, just for the benefit of the recording. Most people, if not all, are nodding their heads. They want to know and hear the still small voice of God, which is the Holy Spirit. So let's close our eyes and ask him to come and do that. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into our hearts once more afresh this morning, today, Lord. We say, come, Holy Spirit, and pour out your Spirit in us so that we may hear you clearly, so that the still small voice, it becomes very noticeable, very clear, and we can take note of it, Lord. And we want to hear your voice, we want to act on it, Lord, and we want to give you glory in all that we do. We give you permission, Lord Jesus, to speak to us on a daily basis. Come, Lord, in Jesus' name. So if these three examples are the word of God coming out of his mouth, you know, prophetic, word of God, still small voice, they're all coming out of God's mouth to us. It's him communicating to us. Yeah? If that's the case, then we need to pay attention to it, don't we? Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the last, I think I missed my slides a bit. Next slide, please, Pokong. Oh, I haven't, it's there. I just want to finish on this last, I'll give the last word to God, as it were. This is 1 Peter 1:23. From the New King James Version. So having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And that's us. We have the word of God within us, and it's incorruptible. It doesn't perish. And it says it lasts forever, endures forever, which is wonderful. You know, seasons come and go, people come and go, but this word, the word of God, endures forever.
Thanks, Trevor.